This morning I want to talk to you about daisy love. You know what daisy love is. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. Which is interesting. I could easily tell you all about daisy love, about human nature. You know, we live in relationships. He loves me, he loves me not. Some of you are married. You know those kind of feelings. Some of you want to date, and you might have that feeling. Some of you have that with your children or spouses and or parents. And we live in a world of daisy love. Commitment is an amazing thing. You know, I could easily tell you about human nature. I mean, today's the day that all around the world, 800 million Christians are having service today. And they're talking about palm branches. Children, our children, are making palm branch things. Waving the palm branches. Here's daisy love. I love him. I could talk about us and our love for each other. Right? Palm Sunday. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I could easily talk to you about that. And 5 days later, they're shaking their fist at him, saying, crucify him. He loves me, he loves me not. We could talk about Peter. Draws his sword out, cuts off a Roman soldier's ear and says, I will die for you. Before the night's over, denies knowing Jesus 3 times. He loves me, he loves me not. I could talk about the thousands of Christians I've met in 28 years who have come to an altar, given their hearts to the Lord, just excited about God, and then today are not walking with the Lord. I mean, maybe even some of you are struggling in your daisy love. He loves me, he loves me not. It's so easy to talk about human nature. I don't think there's any doubt any of us would say this. It happens in the families. Dad, you're the greatest in the world. To, I wish I'd never been born. You're the worst parents in the world. My wife, I don't know how she puts up with me. It'll be 26 years, and it just blows my mind. But I don't think there's been a day in my life where I go, she loves me, she loves me not. She loves me. See, I could talk about human nature, but I think today I'd like to switch that because I think we project on God what we do to each other. I think there's times when many of you, and if it's not you, well, then it's just me. Or is it any of us? How many people wake up some days going, I don't think God loves me. I have really blown it. I don't think he loves me today. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. Can I tell you something? That's not God. Here it is. You want to pluck the daisies out of the flower of God. Here's the daisies in the flower of God. Here it is. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. Is that him? Is it for me? No, I'm sorry. I should never do that. I was doing a wedding this weekend, and my phone went off in the rehearsal. And I only had the phone less than a day, and I didn't know how to shut it off. And I got at least 4 requests from the ushers and groomsmen that said, Pastor, you don't have your phone, right? Not a problem. It happens to all of us. It's okay. Just tell the Lord I said hello. He loves me. You know, honestly, Are there times when we struggle with this idea that I've really blown it? Does he love me? I want you to know we cannot project our humanness onto God. God doesn't wake up in the morning and go, you've really blown it. Because you know this? God loves you, period. That's who he is. So you pull the dandelion of God. It's he loves me, he loves me, he loves me with everything that's within me. You know what's great about that is my wife knows the Lord. And in 26 years of marriage, I have to say this, and I can say it absolutely with full confidence. There's not been a day in 26 years of marriage where I've ever thought my wife didn't love me. And I have blown it. Okay, there's been days when I wasn't so nice, or I got a little short with my temper, or I didn't get something done I was asked to do. I mean, that happens, right, guys? With me. Thanks for all agreeing. I'm not saying you guys, but I just know in 26 years, but there's never been a moment where I've ever doubted that she's going to leave me. There's never been a moment where I thought this is over. Now, there's been some tough times. There's been days where the bags can get packed. But in it all, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you is permeated. You know, there's got to be a place where somewhere in our hearts we get this idea that we need to hear from God today. God, do you still love me? And I believe every single day God says, I love you. We just need to hear him. I remember hearing a story about a lady. She's very frustrated with her husband after years of marriage. He never said those words, I love you. So she went up to him one day. She says, I just need to hear it. Would you just tell me, I love you? And so finally, after all the badgering, he looked at her and said, okay, look, I told you the day we got married that I loved you. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. There you go. Oh, no, no, no. Not so good, guys. You know what? God did not say to me the day I came to him when I discovered this incredible love and said, I'm in. He didn't say, that's it. When I change my mind, I'll let you know. Every day, God speaks his love to me. And I need to hear that every day in my life. I think as humans, we forget the nature of God, that he does love us and that he wants to tell us. He shouts it. He shouts it from the mountains. Last night, in the strong wind that hit my house, I thought, where does the wind come from? I don't know. But maybe God's saying, hey, before you go to bed tonight, boom, 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 I love you. Maybe when you stand on the ocean shore and those incredible waves that houses and buildings in Tokyo couldn't stop, those incredible, powerful waves, when they crash on the shore, maybe God's saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. Maybe just when you woke up this morning and the sun was coming up and maybe there was a robin singing in your backyard, it was just God's way of saying, I love you. I believe God says, I love you every single day of our lives. And he wants to remind us, he's not going to quit loving us. You can quit, but he will not quit loving us. You can step out of the marriage, but he will not step out of the marriage. You can be unfaithful, but God will never be unfaithful. And so I picked for my text something that's probably not ever, well, very rarely shared. I've not heard this, not on Palm Sunday. On Palm Sunday, it's wave the palm branches. I picked Barabbas. I picked a story because here it is. There's something I found in here that in 28 years as being a Christian, I've just never really caught, and it really rocked me. There's a verse in this story that's absolutely incredible. Jesus is brought before the governor of the state. And so he's sitting there, and it says this. You know, it would be great when it says, when the governor says, what shall I do in verse 22? What shall I do then with Jesus? Now, that's a great quote. I could preach for weeks on this. Folks, let me ask you this. What will you do with Jesus? You have two choices. You can praise him and lift him up, or you can crucify him. There's really nothing in the middle. If you say, well, I'm kind of in the middle, the devil owns the fence, folks. Okay? There's not a middle ground. You either praise him or you say with the crowd, crucify him. That would be easy to preach on. I don't want to preach on that. Here's what I caught that's just an amazing statement that tells me about God's crazy love. He goes through this story, and then Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere in verse 24, and there was an uproar starting. I mean, he's got a riot on his hands, and we've seen riots in the Middle East. He washes his hands, says, I'm innocent of this man's blood. It's your responsibility. And verse 25 is the one that rocks me. It says, all the people answered, let his blood be on us and on our children. Isn't that amazing? Blood is an amazing thing. Today, before this day ends, your body will pump 7 tons of blood will go through your heart. 14,000 pounds of blood is going to pass through that little heart of yours. It'll go through your lungs. It'll grab oxygen. And without that blood, it can't grab oxygen. It's going to take oxygen to every part of your body and your brain. You cannot live without blood. You got to have blood. And isn't it amazing? Here they are, and they have no idea what they're saying. They're saying, let his blood be on us. And I say this morning, I thank God that his blood is on me and my children. Because there's life in blood. In fact, if you get in an accident, the first thing they're going to do when you start losing blood is they're going to grab some blood and get it into you. And I say this morning, let God's crazy love, let his blood get into you. Now, that sounds kind of crazy. What kind of church is this talking about blood? Is it? I mean, when you think about crazy love, God says, I got a plan. I'm going to pour blood on you. Okay, I'm not going to church anymore. As a youth pastor for 20 years prior to just substituting for the last couple of years. I remember kids would come into our youth group. We'd have a couple hundred kids at Bible study, and kids would come in, and I just have a little fun. You could just see them. They hadn't been to church before. You knew the ones. They walk in like this. And then someone says, hey, Pastor, you got to meet. And I'd meet them, and I thought, oh, it's just too good to let go. And so I said, it's good to meet you. Your first time in church? Uh-huh. So you have no idea what's going to happen? Oh, no. I said, well, listen, those are some nice clothes you're wearing. I'm going to ask if you don't sit on the first two rows, because when we sacrifice the puppies, when we cut them open, that blood, and you could see this look on their face. Where am I? Puppies? Now, you say that's crazy. I know it's crazy. But here it is. Hey, let's sacrifice a lamb. Don't sit in the front row. Let his blood get on us. You say, blood? Absolutely. You go to a church, you believe in a religion that says this, that there was a lamb sacrificed, and let his blood be on us as it is, and let it be on our children as well. I'm telling you, that's just crazy love. Who in the world would do something like that? And so his blood this morning speaks of his love to me in three different ways. Number one, it's a redeeming love. It's a redeeming love. Let his blood be on me. Think about that. Let 14,000 pounds of the blood of Jesus, one drop of Jesus, let it be in my life. Look what Hebrews says. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 9, verse 22, it says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So you got to ask yourself the question this morning. Is God loving you? He's pouring out his blood in your life. The blood of Jesus Christ, my blood, our blood, is a reminder every day that I can't have life without blood. I can't have eternity without the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There it is. The way we get purified is through the blood of Christ. Now let me explain it a little more this way. There is an irony. There's an irony in this story. See, we're reading it out of Matthew. John tells the same story in chapter 18, verse 28. He puts in a little twist on this story. Look what he says. Same story, but he puts in a sentence here that Matthew missed. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremony uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat for the Passover. This is irony in its highest form. They didn't want to go into this governor, this Roman guy who's killing Jews. They don't want to go in his house. It's Passover. You guys know what Passover is, right? Passover is this thing they celebrate. Moses, you know, the 10 plagues, he goes to Pharaoh, says, let my people go. Last plague, the death angel shows up. The death angel shows up, and what does God say? Everybody, take the blood, cover your doorpost, right? And what happens when that blood is over you? You live. Your firstborn lives. And they're saying, oh, we're in town, it's the Passover feast. Isn't it ironic? It's the Passover feast, and Jesus rides in. Isn't it interesting that they were told by Moses 4,000 years ago to cover your doorpost with the blood of a lamb? These guys want to eat. They're celebrating that celebration. They eat lamb, and they want to be clean, so they're going to eat it. Irony. They've got Jesus, the lamb. And they don't want to take him in to kill him because they want to be clean to celebrate the Passover. Are you getting this? Let me say it again. I just want to make sure you're getting this. They're going in to an unclean place. They want to celebrate the blood of the Lamb over their house. They've got the blood of the Lamb right under their feet. And they're saying, we don't want to go in. It'll make us unclean. I'm going, really? And so I drove up to the gas pump last night. It was 4:13. And I don't know if you're doing this. I don't feel it anymore. I just go, how far do I need to go? 8 miles. I need 2 gallons. 3 gallons. 4 gallons. Okay, that's $80. I'm done. $4 and something. You know what's amazing about that? We live in Michigan. We got people can't find jobs. I've shared this before. Right down here in Detroit, we have the largest salt deposit mines in the world. And last winter, we ran out of salt to salt the roads in Detroit. Right under the largest salt deposit in the world. I just heard from the governor. 20% of the world's water is taken out of our lakes. 20% of the world's water. We don't sell it to the world. They just take it. We could employ every single person and pay $100 an hour with just the salt and just the water. And we got people unemployed because we can't salt our roads because it's under our feet. I paid $4 a gallon for gas. We've got more gas in the Nebraska-Colorado basin than the entire world has, than OPEC has. We have more oil in Alaska than all of OPEC. We have more oil off the Gulf of Mexico than all of OPEC. And I'm saying to myself, we should be paying 10 cents a gallon and China should be borrowing money from us. Now, I'm not running for office. But here it is. We have every resource we ever needed in the world, and we're starving. And we've got Jesus Christ right here, and we can't find forgiveness. We have the power of God, the very one who spoke and the stars exist. You have God Almighty that created life. Walk into the hospital and see a baby being born. The miracle of life. It doesn't even have mom's blood. How did that happen? It's got a different blood type. It's got different thoughts and dreams and goals and ambitions. Well, there's a miracle. And you have the same God who, listen, folks, we can kill life, but we have not figured out how to make life. Only God can do that, and He is the God who lives in me, and the blood is over my doorpost. He redeemed me. He forgives me. My past has been wiped out. You understand what I'm talking about? He redeems us. I got a call Sunday night. I went to a revival meeting last week, a little over a week ago. I was gone. And while I was preaching Sunday night, I met this lady. Her name's Hazel. She's 84 years old. She's a character. After the service, I mean, she just kind of goes back, 84 years young. And she just, I mean, she's just got a wit and a sense of humor. And I'm trying to match wits with her, and I lost. I was unarmed. This lady just, I went over to the fellowship hall, and they're over there, and a bunch of ladies that weren't at the revival showed up, some of the sinners. And there's Hazel, and they're all not sure what to do. I said, what's going on over there? And the pastor said, they want to play cards, but they're not sure what you think. So I said, oh, no problem. I walked over. I said, so I hear you guys all want to play the devil's game. What, pastor? I said, I'm just kidding. You guys play euchre, huh? So they all get together Sunday nights and play euchre, whether they go to church or not. They get more euchre players than they do people in revival at times. And there's this lady, Cookie, and she's the aunt to some of these older gals. And she's kind of one of these ladies, you know, kind of, you know what I'm saying? And she's in there, and they're talking to her. And her leg, she's got all kinds of physical issues. And as they're talking, one of the Hazel goes, pastor, come here. I just feel like we just need to pray for Hazel right now. Hazel? Okay. Or pray for Cookie. And I said, Cookie, do you want us to pray for you? It was awkward. I'm going, they're playing cards. It's like, we just need to lay hands on her and pray. I'm going, she's not a Christian. And she says, well, you know, pastor, you know, I don't think God wants me because God doesn't want me. Because I just drink too much and I can't quit smoking. And the reason she doesn't go to church is because God doesn't want her at church. Because, see, God doesn't want people like that. And I'm like, where did you get that notion? And I said, Cookie, can I pray for you? She said, yes. I said, you've got leg problems. I said, tell you what, Cookie, I'm going to ask God to show His love to you in a special way. And I just felt led to do it. I laid hands on her, and I prayed over it. I said, I'm going to ask God to heal you, and then when He heals you, that you'll accept Him as your Savior. She didn't say anything. We started praying. Man, all these ladies, oh, Lord, come on, get her, you know. And I'm praying, and I'm praying over, I'm praying, and Hazel's over there just going, we prayed over this lady, and that was it. And I thought, oh, we'll see her at revival. And she prayed along with us. And she prayed along kind of to receive the Lord. I mean, I prayed out loud. She kind of prayed. I thought, well, something happened. She didn't show up at revival Monday. She didn't show up at revival Tuesday and Wednesday, and I left. Last Sunday, I got a phone call from the pastor. Oh, I got to tell you, Hazel, this character, you got to understand who this lady is. I mean, she just went after her. She says, I want to take you out to lunch, Pastor. I said, okay, let's go. So a bunch of us went out to lunch from the staff there and myself, and we're at this kind of senior buffet place, really nice place, and we're eating. We get done eating. Hazel buys. She says, I just want to buy your lunch, spend time. We get done. I walked outside, and outside in the parking lot was this pickup truck with a flatbed, and it had a horse carriage on it, like 1800s little carriage. I said, oh, Tom, you got it, Pastor Tom, you got to turn around. We turn around, Hazel's coming out after paying for lunch. I said, Hazel, I told you not to park in the no parking. They're towing your car away. She looked at me, she reached in the window, and she punched me in the arm. We took a picture of it. That night at revival, it said, Hazel's car being towed away. Well, I walked in, I got a hold of a hospital sling. I put it on. I walked into church that night. And I walked in, all the ladies, they were all sitting, a lot of the gals sitting there in the fellowship hall, and they said, Pastor, what happened to you? I said, well, the doctor says that my nerve got pinched. It slid around my bone, and everything went numb. I can't feel a thing. She goes, and then Hazel, and all the ladies, oh, and Hazel pipes up with her attitude. She goes, oh, what happened to you? Did someone punch? I said, yeah, today when you hit me at lunch, Hazel, we had to go to the emergency room. My arm went numb. All ladies go, Hazel, you hit the evangelist? I took it off and threw it at her and said, don't punch the evangelist. We had a great time. I got a call Sunday night. Cookie wasn't at revival because after I laid hands on her for her to be healed, she had to go to the emergency room. She thought she was having a heart attack. So if you want me to pray for you this morning... I said, oh, no. I said, what happened? She had a gall attack. And I said, gallbladder attack. I said, really? He says, yeah, but that's not the story. God healed her legs, and she was trying to get to church, but she was having this gall attack. And so she's in the hospital for 2 days, and then she got out, but she was completely healed. God delivered her. She has no desire for drinking or smoking or anything. She's not had one incident. She gave her life to the Lord. She was at church today, Pastor. I had to call and tell you that. Now, the reason I say that is because not only is God's blood redeeming, but it's reaching. God is reaching to everybody. If he can grab a hold of a Hazel, he can grab a hold of me. Listen, God is reaching out to get a hold of all of us. And his love, his blood goes well beyond our religion. It goes way beyond our stained glass windows. God's love goes well beyond our religion. And it goes so far out into the streets, it just reminds. In fact, God's love is so great that I picked this story because of one guy. His name is Barabbas. Barabbas is the first guy that Jesus redeems. Wait a minute, never heard that. Redemption is salvation. I'm going to take your place, and you go ahead and take my place. Could you see the scenario? Who do you want me to release? Barabbas, this murderer, this vile, this decrepit man, this just hideous man, Barabbas or Jesus? Well, give us Barabbas. And for the first time in Scripture, Jesus trades places with a human being. Wow. And it's Barabbas. And if God can pick Barabbas, look at the kind of people that Jesus picks. Think about this. He picked you and me. He picked Zacchaeus, a little wee man, a tax collector. Matthew, what a cheat he was. He picked Peter, talk about unschooled. He found a woman by a well who had five husbands and she was sleeping around again. He says, I love you. He found Mary, a prostitute, and he went down and touched her and healed her. Later on, she shows up and washes his feet with perfume. Who does he pick? He grabbed a hold of me 28 years ago, and you know who I was 28 years ago. And his love, his blood reached me. How does his blood get through a college dorm room on the third story of Olson Hall at the University of South Dakota with me hanging upside down with gravity inversion boots as I'm hanging upside down with all my roommates and friends, sitting there with an F-15 fighter mask on, going down to a 3-foot bong called Bertha, smoking marijuana because that's what I was doing. And God looks and saved Barabbas. He saved me. And he turned my life around because God's blood is reaching. And if he can change my life, he can change anybody's life. I can just see Barabbas going, okay, they let me go. They let me go. I'm a liar. I'm a murderer. I'm a vile man. And who did they take to kill? Who took my place? Who was worse than me? That guy. The teacher. He healed a little girl in a room. He took a little boy's lunch and he fed 5,000 people. He spoke words of love. He walked on water. Why, that doesn't make any sense. You want to kill him? And I think that's the craziest story I've ever heard. And then Jesus says, I'll take your place. How's that? Because of our sins, we deserve death. I'll take your place too. And we walk away from that going, I've done this, 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 and this, and you're taking my place. God, I don't understand that, but I'll tell you what, if that's what it takes, I'm in. And the last thing, and I could just stop preaching right now, but here it is. His blood restores us. See, when God got a hold of me, I didn't turn over a new leaf. See, on the backside, I'm not still the partier. On the backside, I'm not an alcoholic. On the backside, I'm not a druggie. On the backside, I'm not hanging upside down. See, God didn't turn me around and go, there, let's just present the good side. There, you turned over a new leaf. Oh, we got the good side now. No, God gave me a new start. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, all things are made new. I mean, Jesus reached out to me just like the king at the wedding feast. And he said, hey, go invite everybody in. Oh, what a handsome group you are. I did a wedding last night. What a handsome group that was. And everybody had invitations. And said, there wasn't hardly anybody showed up. The king said, go out into the streets. Tell you what, go to Grace Ministry, go to Cross Current, go on over to Ross, go to Colonial Woods. Why don't you invite them to the banquet? And the banquet time was ready. And the king said, where's everybody at? I got so many empty chairs. I got empty chairs all over the place. Really? Nobody wants to come to the banquet? Why do I have empty chairs? Why are there empty chairs? Empty chairs? Good luck getting into the Olive Garden without a 45-minute wait today. Why are there empty chairs? Tell you what, go to the alleys and you find the homeless guy. Go to the streetwalkers. You find the hookers and the prostitutes. You go find the druggies. And I will give them an invitation. They go, we get to go to the royal wedding. What do I wear? I don't even care. Just show up. I got so much food here. Thank you, God, for inviting me to the wedding. His love speaks to me every day. And I hope it speaks to you. Because it restored my life. I'm not the same. In fact, today, I want to let you know, not only am I not the same, but today, God has absolutely changed my life. I'm so in love with him. And every day, I think, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Thank you, God. I got a phone call this week from a friend. A gentleman goes to church here. It's an awesome, awesome deal. Come on up, Jeremy, if you would. Jeremy's going to come and play. I'm going to just close it out this way. This guy called me up 2 days ago. He says, Pastor, I have got to tell you something incredible. I said, what do you want to tell me? He said, I was at the doctor's a while back, and the doctor's found this black spot on my face, thick, black, ugly, and said, you've got cancer. You need to get rid of that now. You need to go schedule with a dermatologist. Go, go, go. So he scheduled it. Well, he was over at his daughter's house just a couple weeks ago on a Sunday having lunch after church. And his daughter, who we've been praying for a year, who was delivered a few months ago of all of her cancer, said, Dad, can we pray for you? So went over and laid hands on Dad. The next morning, Dad woke up. I mean, not only was the cancer gone, the spot, he was clean. He said, okay, before I make a fool of myself, I'm going back to my doctor before the dermatologist. He went back to his doctor. He called me on his way home from that doctor's meeting, and he said, Pastor, I had to call you. Leaving the doctor's office, God has healed me. The doctor said, you are completely healed. There's nothing. There's not even that spot. You're healed. And I said, you know what? God has given you a story to go remind people that he loves us and he's stronger than our problems. His love is greater than everything the devil can throw your way. He really is. And he says, that's not the good news, Pastor. I got something for your Sunday sermon. I won't be there. I'm going to be out of town, but I got to tell you. And I said, oh, that's great. How did you know? He says, I didn't know. I just knew. I just figured. He raises horses. He's got about 75 horses at any given time. Not all his. Huge horses, small horses, Mustangs, this wild horses. He said, I got to tell you a story, Pastor. This just happened. He said, I don't know if you guys know, but the Department of, let me get this right. I want to make sure I have it right. The Bureau of Land Management, the BLM, they go out and they get all these wild Mustangs. Do you know that in the United States, there are hundreds and even thousands of wild horses? What they do out west, in most places, the farmers were shooting them because they were starving to death. There were so many of them, like just an overpopulation like deer. So they'd just go out and shoot. Well, people said, you can't shoot horses. You can't just go out and shoot them. So they came up with laws, said, you can't shoot. Well, what are we going to do with all these horses? They're starving to death. So the Bureau goes and rounds all these Mustangs up, and they take them to auctions, and they sell them. They brand them right under their mane. And after they brand them under their mane, they take them, and if a horse doesn't sell in multiple auctions, they'll come up with a different brand, and they'll brand them on the hind. When they brand them on the hind, that's a death brand. To say the horse is to be put down, nobody wants it. It's wild, it's mangy, it's whatever. He told me that there's a show with these cowboys, and they show Mustangs, and it's top breeds, and they come in doing their trots, and they do their little gallops and gants, and they show them, and the winner gets $50,000 for the best Mustang, and this just happened. There was a gentleman at one of these auctions, and one of them hadn't sold was branded and heading on to the slaughterhouse. He said, that's the one I want. And he rescued that horse, and the show just ended. And that man won with that Mustang $50,000 for the best show, for the best horse, for the best Mustang. It was on its way to death. And not only did it get life, it had abundant life. John 10:10 said, the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life to the fullest. You see, when the right guy gets a hold of the right person, your life is completely transformed. The craziest love of all is this. I had a brand in my life. It's called sin. And Jesus took one look at me. And when nobody else in the world may have wanted me, I'll tell you what, the right master got a hold of me, the wild Mustang. Changed my life. And I've gone from to kill, steal, and destroy to life abundantly. I want you to know this morning, God has a crazy love for you. And while we raise palm branches today, remember, there's days sometimes when we raise our fists and say, why? And the whole time, God never quits loving us. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Would you stand with me?